All right, Alexander, let's enter the clown world for a little bit. Let's enter the world of clowns with these three stories. The first one is via Summit News, Paul Joseph Watson. 1,200 public health experts sign letter advocating mass gatherings because white supremacy is a bigger threat than COVID-19. So, Alexander, it looks like the cure for COVID is to protest against racism. I guess that's what's been eluding us for all this time. Michael Tracy, who's an excellent journalist and actually sits on the progressive left, said this in a tweet. The letter was drafted by infectious disease experts at the University of Washington, which has been integral in studying the corona in the U.S. They write that, quote, pervasive racism is now the paramount public health problem, superseding the virus. What the F, Alexander?
I have to say, Alex, you know, when the history of the decline and fall of the West finally gets written, I am sure this statement is going to have a prominent place in it. I mean, really, I mean, what the F? I mean, this statement is so bizarre, so extraordinary, so weird. Now, you know, I don't want to discount, you know, the importance of the issue of racism. No doubt, it is, and absolutely, it is a serious, important issue. But really, at this moment in time, in the middle of a pandemic, the people who've been telling us, you know, solemnly to stay in our homes, how dangerous this is, the people who are reporting the hundreds of thousands of deaths around the world, they suddenly say that, you know, we've got to put all that to one side because, you know, racism is more important. So we must all come out and demonstrate and protest about it. Well, they know perfectly well that, you know, a couple of protests aren't going to change anything on something as fundamental and structural as this is supposed to be. I mean, really, I mean, you know, it just goes to prove that all reality or sense of reality or proportion and balance has been completely lost. The correct and proper thing at this time, if you really believe, as I, by the way, tend to do, that, you know, this pandemic is a serious problem, the proper and responsible thing to do is to say to people, no, absolutely, do not protest or demonstrate, do not come together in large gatherings. You're only going to start this thing all over again. If you want to protest about this thing, protest in other forms, you know, send out your Twitter messages or your whatever it is. But no, of course not. We can't do that. We've got to get behind these protests. And can I just say, what is it really all about? These people are basically doing that. They're coming behind these protests. They're too scared, I suspect, of their own faculties. They're, well, quite. Yeah, I think that too. Sure, absolutely. That loss of their grants. Let's call it as it is, in the measured language that, you know, I am famous for, loss of their grants, fear of some of their students, no doubt, fear of their own faculty members, fear of having horrible Twitter storms against them. So that's what this is all about. I mean, it is pathetic. It is ridiculous. It is, I mean, I am, you know, I'm not usually at a loss for words. I am at a loss for words on this one. I really am.
You know, it does so much damage too, real quickly, to the narrative that we've been fed of the pandemic and to, you know, social distancing and stay indoors. And it just damages the whole credibility of what we've all been through, you know, the past 2-3 months in lockdown. It completely annihilates it.
Well, of course, I mean, look, you know, a couple of days ago, we did a program on our channel about, you know, Dominic Cummings, the British aide of Boris Johnson, who went off to the north. And there was a huge storm about him and the terrible example he'd set and how he, by his actions, he'd undermined the lockdown because we should risk people paying no longer any attention to this advice. He's not even a scientist. These people come along and they're telling us to ignore the lockdown that they themselves have been insisting about. to disregard the epidemic that they've been warning us about? Well, of course it is. It's going to undermine the credibility of this to an extreme degree. And I would have thought it's going to shatter these people's reputations as scientists. Because, you know, what kind of scientific integrity do these people actually have? Either there is a pandemic, either there is a real danger, or there isn't. I mean, you can encourage people, you know, to go off and protest and have them all, you know, by the logic of what they've been saying to us over these last 3 months, or, you know, risk vast numbers of people falling ill and dying. I mean, as I said, words fail me. And as I said, I am not often at a loss for words. Bizarre, absolutely bizarre. But symptomatic of how unreasoning this whole discussion has now become, how completely people have lost the trail of what is being talked about, of what is important and what is not. I mean, that's how it seems to me.
Yeah, clown world. But Dominique Cummings, he just should have said, "I'm going up north to protest racism."
Well, of course, absolutely. That'd been fine. He'd have been here. They'd been putting up statues to him.
I mean, exactly.
That's all they had to say. Absolutely.
Don't worry, I'm not going to spread the virus because I'm going up to protest racism.
Correct.
You know,
absolutely.
He's perfectly safe.
I mean, I have to mention him because, of course, I mean, you know, the vitriol that was directed at him because of what he did. One person driving up to north of England in that way. And, you know, maybe he did wrong. I think he did wrong. But, I mean, the fact is, we have 1,200 doctors, medical people, scientists telling us, you know, it's not that important after all. More important to come out and protest because, I mean, I just don't know what to say. I mean, I'm just as at a loss to know what to say.
Follow the money. Like you said, follow the money. That's why that's where you'll find out the real reason for them signing this thing. But let's move on to the next clown world story, which is Scripples have popped up again. They're living anonymous lives in New Zealand. From Sunday Times, real quick. They broke the story, actually. The former Russian spy, Sergei Skripal, and his daughter, Yulia, have begun a new life in New Zealand, according to a senior government sources. A week before the broadcast of a BBC drama telling the story of those caught up in the Novichok nerve agent attack in Salisbury in 2018, it has emerged that the pair have moved overseas after living for more than a year in an MI6 safe house. A senior government source with knowledge of the risk assessment carried out on the couple at the time of the move said the Skripals had been given new identities and support to start a new life. So, new identities, new support. Our viewers in New Zealand, you may be living next to the Skripals. Anyone out there in New Zealand, let us know if the Skripals, if Yulia and Sergei are living next door to you.
Indeed, if somebody turns up with a, you know, strange East European accent, you know, who knows, they might be in the Skripals. I mean, again, one word of caution. I mean, we've got to be very careful before we assume that this story is necessarily true. All kinds of things have been said about them, and not all of them, just to put it mildly, have turned out to be true. But what it does, to my mind, confirm is that the investigation, the criminal investigation, has essentially ended, because removing them from the United Kingdom to New Zealand means that the British government has no expectation of ever bringing a case against anybody, because if it was going to bring a case, they would be needed to come forward as witnesses. Note, Alex, neither of them has said anything in public since Yulia Skripal did that extraordinarily controlled, program event in, was it 2 years ago in front of British television, this bizarre video, which looked, I thought, so extremely spooky and eerie, in which in a garden in which everything that she said had been incredibly controlled. And note also that, you know, we're told that they were for a year in MI6 a safe house, but presumably, because more than a year has passed since that incident, presumably they've been in other places also. Which other places? And there is so much about this which really doesn't make any kind of sense. This story is a weird story, but it looks as if somebody's taken the decision to get the Skripals at least off, you know, off the out of the country, perhaps, or at least out of the news, and make sure that we don't hear from them again.
Yeah, yeah, hide them away.
Hide them away.
Because the hoax is, in my opinion, was revealed that it was a hoax.
Well, of course it was. Now we're going to have, a TV film, which is intended to make it seem as if the official narrative is true. But as I said, we have no real, but I mean, and that's presumably the end of the affair.
Yeah. Yeah. The TV film will tie up the entire hoax, and, you know, that'll be the propaganda event that will lay this story to bed.
Absolutely.
And as I said, there'll be some of our viewers in New Zealand. They'll be maybe spotting Yulia or Sergey at the market, the grocery store or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say. Well, I will say this. I'm not 100% sure that this story is true. As I said, it's not unknown for British officials over the course of this story to say things that are not true.
Misdirection.
So, I mean, it's not impossible. But, you know, let's assume it is true. But whatever it is, whether it's true or not, the fact is that somebody's now trying to draw a line under this affair.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. And the final Clown World story comes from Czech Republic, and it involves two Russian diplomats that have been booted out of the country. And according to Czech investigators, they were booted out of the country because the diplomats got into an argument between each other, and one of the diplomats was spreading rumors that the other diplomat was looking to spy on government and carry out an assassination and all kinds of weirdness. What do you make of this story?
Well, I mean, the whole story is absolute nuts. I mean, what we're basically told is, first of all, it's now accepted by the Czech government that the whole story of the assassination plot, the Ryšin plot, is completely fictitious, that it was a fake and untrue story. But they're saying, well, it wasn't us who made it up. It wasn't our friends in NATO who made it up. It was two Russian diplomats having a quarrel. One of them wanted to, you know, say some horrible things about the other, so he went off to Czech intelligence and made up the story. Now, you know, stupid things happen. I'm not by any means discounting the possibility that these two Russian diplomats are indeed the source of this absurd story, and if so, I mean, you know, they've done their country huge harm. But I have to also say that it seems to me perfectly possible that this is a cover story the Czechs themselves are putting out in order to cover their tracks after an absolutely ridiculous story, which has dominated the news in the Czech Republic for several weeks, has been discredited and found to be untrue. So it wasn't our fault. It wasn't our fault. It wasn't our NATO allies' fault. You know, at one point they were told, the Czechs were saying, that they'd been tipped off by another intelligence agency. And now all that's dissolved. That's all gone away. It's not our fault. It's not other people's fault in NATO. It's the Russians who are to blame, because, you know, we have all these people within the Russian embassy who are quarreling with each other. Perhaps that's true. But as I said, it could also be a cover story. We will never know.
Still stuck on Russia, NATO in Europe. Still stuck on Russia. Yeah. The Russian boogeyman, they can't get over it.
Well, can I also say something? I mean, you know, even let's assume it is true. Let's assume that there's two Russian diplomats each having a quarrel, and one of them comes along and says to the, you know, a Czech intelligence, well, you know, the Russians are going to go off and carry out all these murders with Ryšin. You know, Czech intelligence takes this nonsense seriously. It doesn't, you know, look into it or verify it or ask the Russians about it. I mean, it doesn't speak very well for them that they were so easily fooled by a story as absurd and as obviously fabricated as this one.
I would imagine this would be a simple investigation. I would imagine that they would definitely go to the Russian embassy and the Russian government and see what's going on. and they would get to the bottom of it pretty quickly. But, you know, expelling the diplomats, and even if it was true that they were in a fight and the one guy was trying to you know, get the other guy in trouble, so to speak, that would be something that the embassy would handle, wouldn't it be? I mean, I would imagine the Czech Republic would say, look, you know, Russian embassy, you know, get your guys in order. These guys are a bunch of buffoons. Handle it.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they would do. I mean, as I said, the whole story is nonsense. Now, as I said, you know, it's possible. People can be horribly bitchy towards each other. So, I mean, I'm not discounting that theory completely. I have to say, it does look to me more like a cover story. Somebody got, as I said, extremely embarrassed in the Czech Republic. It all turned out that, you know, they've been peddling for weeks something that was completely made up. So rather than come forward and admit that they made a terrible mistake and that this mysterious other intelligence agency that tipped them off had got it all completely wrong, so much easier to blame the Russians and to expel two diplomats as a way of throwing the blame back on them. I mean, you know, that seems to me actually the more plausible explanation for this story than the one the Czechs are giving. I mean, I have to say something else. You know, for a Russian diplomat to go along and talk to Czech intelligence and spread stories about one of his colleagues on this kind of scale, I mean, that's a pretty reckless thing for a diplomat to do. I mean, you'd have thought a diplomat, and Russian diplomats tend to be very highly trained people, would know a lot better than to do something like that. I mean, if there's any truth to that story, and you can be sure the Russians are going to investigate it, that's going to land this person in very serious trouble. So I, you know, maybe it's what happened. I suspect not.
Yeah, it's a very unusual story, but we just laid out three very unusual stories, so we'll leave it there, Alexander.
Well, it's a funny old world, as Margaret Thatcher once said. This is very funny. I mean, you know, three very bizarre things. As I said, two of the most bizarre stories, the spy stories that you can get. I mean, you know, more Laurel and Hardy in each case than, or Inspector Clouseau in each case than, you know, James Bond. And a first story, which, as I said, about the scientists and the doctors, which just absolutely flips my brain. I mean, I find that so bizarre that it just leaves me speechless. I mean, really speechless.